Hello, listeners. This is Iris, and you're about to hear the reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for today, Monday, March 25th. I'm your volunteer reader, Bob Young. Let's take a look at the weather forecast first thing. This one comes from KCRG. Showers and even some thunderstorms are expected Monday afternoon. One or two strong storms can't be ruled out on Monday. High temperatures today will rise into the upper 50s and low 60s. Lingering rain and snow will continue on Tuesday with windy conditions. After a wet start to the week, Wednesday through Friday looks dry, with slowly increasing high temperatures. However, next weekend, showers and storms will be possible as another low-pressure system travels through the Midwest. Now, the front page of the Courier has two articles for us to read today. The first one is titled, Refugee of War, Victim of Tragedy. Wartime Sarajevo doctor recalled as his Waterloo killer is sentenced. Story filed by Jeff Reinitz of the Courier. Dateline is Waterloo. Ibrahim Lagundzik dodged snipers and worked to save victims in the siege of Sarajevo when the nation of Yugoslavia fell apart in the 1990s. On Wednesday, family members remembered his legacy as a Waterloo man pleaded to inadvertently killing him in a grocery store parking lot 2 years ago. Quote, I'm truly sorry. I didn't mean for that to happen. Lateral Dwayne Allen, 50, told Lagumzik's relatives moments after pleading to involuntary manslaughter and willful injury causing serious injury. Quote, it's hard for me to live with that, unquote. Allen, who was adamant about apologizing to the family, was sentenced to up to 30 years in prison as part of a last-minute agreement with prosecutors that reduced a second-degree murder charge. Under the arrangement, Allen will serve 6 years behind bars before he will be eligible for parole. He was also ordered to pay $150,000 in restitution to Ibrahim Lagunzik's estate. Lagunzik's adult children said they continued to struggle with their loss, yet they were in agreement with the terms of the plea. Quote, I hope you find peace in your life, son Dennis Lagunzik told Allen. Ibrahim Lagunzik was originally from Yugoslavia, the oldest of seven children. As a young man, he worked a number of jobs, including holding a position as welder at a factory in then West Germany in the 1970s. His boss offered him a path to German citizenship, but Ibrahim Lagunzik ultimately declined and returned to his home country, where he worked his way through medical school. When the former Eastern Bloc nation split and devolved into war in the 1990s, Ibrahim Lagunzik was the chief reconstructive surgeon at Sarajevo Hospital, the capital of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and its residents became the target in what was one of the longest sieges in modern warfare, lasting from 1992 to 1996, in attacks that regularly hit marketplaces and residents making their way around the city. More than 5,400 civilians died from artillery shelling and small arms fire. Ratko Mladic, who led the army of Republika Srpska, and Radovan Karadzic, the president of Republika Srpska, could later be charged with war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity, in part because of the siege. Ibrahim Lagunzik worked endlessly treating wounded from the conflict, often through electrical blackouts. His wife, Mubera, remembered him sharing details of his operations, despite the fact that it was often at the dinner table while they were trying to eat. Quote, some people just couldn't make it. He didn't have supplies to work on them. How do you decide who deserves to live? This person was hit by a mortar. This is a child bleeding out. You have to deal with all the decisions, Dennis said. The surgeon also treated high-value enemy combatants and commanders who were wounded and captured. Quote, he would be tasked with working on them because, God forbid, they should die, the information they could get. That guy is the dude who is willing to command the killing of your fellow neighbors, your friends, and now you have to work on him to save his life, Dennis said. The son also recounted how Ibrahim attempted to save his neighbor, an elderly man who wandered into the street and was shot by a sniper. Quote, my dad said the snipers would always aim for the stomach. It's an easier target, and the internal bleeding, there's not much you can do, the son said. Ibrahim and another neighbor rushed into the street and started dragging the wounded man to safety. Two more shots rang out. Quote, they missed where his head was, where his stomach was, Dennis said. The wounded man died. As the conflict dragged on, Ibrahim Lagumzik's wife and two young daughters, Emma and Layla, spent years in refugee camps. Emma Lagumzik remembers turning 5 in a camp. Quote, he sacrificed his life to bring his family to the U.S. He had PTSD at the time, but he made sure his family came first, Emma said. The mother and daughters came to the United States in 1995 as refugees. The father followed about a year after that. The son was born in the United States. Once in America, Ibrahim Lagunzik wasn't able to continue his profession. Quote, in Sarajevo, they had the Library of Sarajevo, and that's where they had people's personal documents and stuff. Well, they firebombed the library, his son said. Lost in destruction were records that documented Ibrahim Lagunzik's medical training and credentials. Instead, he took up jobs like logging, where he injured his back, and doing what he could to return to the medical field, becoming a certified nursing assistant. He also delivered newspapers. In his spare time, he fished and coached youth soccer in the Waterloo area. By the 2020s, Ibrahim Lagunzik was using a cane to get around. Officials said the seeds to his demise were sown in May 2020 during an argument with a woman in the parking lot at Hometown Foods on Mitchell Avenue. According to a police officer who handled the call, the two argued over his driving. He allegedly struck her with his cane and got arrested, according to the officer. Almost 2 years later, on March 7, 2022, Ibrahim Lagunzik and the woman, Ecstasy Marshall, happened to be shopping at the same grocery store by coincidence. According to police, Marshall and Ibrahim Lagunzik left the store at the same time. He headed toward his vehicle, parked in the handicapped spot, and she went to her car where her husband, Alan, was seated. Alan then exited the car and walked over to Ibrahim Lagunzik and punched him. Quote, you got out of the car for no other reason than anger and revenge and criminal thinking. He's 70 years old and has to walk with a cane, and you go up and cold cock him. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that if the poor man needs a cane to walk, when you punch him in the face, he's going to lose his balance, Judge Linda Fangman recounted to Alan during the hearing. Ibrahim Lagunzik hit the ground. Alan and Marshall drove off, leaving the former doctor on the pavement, choking on his own blood. A passerby found Ibrahim and summoned help. Ibrahim Lagunzik, who had suffered a serious head injury, lingered in the hospital, never being able to talk or move his arms or legs again. His wedding anniversary came, and instead of a celebration, he acknowledged the event with a simple head nod, Emma said. Not long after that, his nodding stopped, and his means of communication became a stare, the daughter said. He died on August 27, 2022, at the age of 72, from complications of blunt force trauma to the head from the March 2022 incident. Police arrested Alan for murder in January of 2024. His sentencing for the lesser manslaughter charge on Wednesday, including an Alford plea, not admitting guilt, but opting to plea in order to take advantage of a plea offer, to a criminal mischief charge where he was accused of damaging a supervisor's Ford Explorer after he was terminated from Tyson's Fresh Meats in December of 2020. Mercy One honors Heroes Among Us during event on Thursday. Story written by Holly Hudson Hill. Dateline, Cedar Falls. In an emotional and uplifting Heroes Among Us ceremony Thursday morning, Mercy One honored individuals for selfless acts that benefited others and the community. The 19th annual breakfast event, hosted by KWWL's Ron Steele and Jim Koloff of Koloff Media, drew about 300 attendees to the Diamond Event Center in Cedar Falls. The honorees, 8 people and 1 dog, were selected in 9 categories, including the newly named Jim Mudd Senior Military Hero. Mudd, founder of Mudd Advertising and a longtime community benefactor, died in February. Proceeds from the event will help fund an electrophysiology lab renovation, used to detect and treat heart rhythm problems through the Mercy One Waterloo Foundation, and a new Stryker Mako orthopedic robot for knee and hip surgeries through the Mercy One Cedar Falls Foundation. And this year's winners are Max Anderson, Good Samaritan Youth Hero. After dropping off a friend on Thanksgiving Day, Max Anderson, 16, of Washington, decided to take a longer route home. His mom calls it a God moment, because that decision likely saved a little boy's life. Driving down a rural road, Anderson saw what he thought was an animal in the road. An oncoming car drove past without stopping. As he got closer, he realized it was not an animal, but a small boy who was oblivious to traffic. The boy was running down the road, which I found kind of odd. Then I got lost in the moment, Anderson, 16, recalled. Quote, I went with my instinct and just did what I thought was right. Anderson took immediate action. He turned his truck sideways to block both lanes of traffic, put on his hazard lights, called 911, and kept the boy out of danger while talking to the dispatcher. Anderson's good deed attracted more good deeds from other drivers. The boy wasn't dressed very warm for the cold, he said. Some lady gave the boy her socks. A guy took off his sweatshirt and put it on the boy, unquote. Deputies arrived and located his parents, who lived about a mile away. He was reunited with his mother, who was grateful to Anderson. Quote, some people may not believe it, but there are a lot of teenagers out there who do a lot of good and are not all bad, unquote, Anderson said. You've got to be positive, not negative, and try to do some good in the world, unquote. Next is Tim Combs, Community Service Hero. In 2015, Tim Combs of Cedar Falls set out on a quest to aid veterans in need. He dedicated all his energy and a substantial part of his personal and retirement savings to establish Americans for Independent Living. His goal is to, quote, help the young veterans that are coming home with disabilities to make their life as easy as possible, he said. The AFIL is currently undergoing a transformation. The former Slumberland Furniture Store at 4020 University Avenue in Waterloo is being rehabilitated to serve as the organization's new home. Quote, I thought it would be awesome to put together a resource center that they could have a one-stop shop to come to and get whatever information they need, like PTSD counseling or anything else. It's a place for them to hang out, work on things, find work and housing, and get their minds off whatever's going on, Combs said. God isn't the only force guiding Tim on his mission. Combs' mission is also born for his love for his grandfather, a World War II veteran who set the bar high for sacrifice, leaving a wife and 3 kids behind when he was shipped overseas. He returned to his family, and the stories and photos of his service left a lasting impression on Tim. Quote, I just thought he was the best guy ever, and I guess that's where it comes through for helping veterans. Quote, I think he'd be very tickled and delighted at what I'm doing to help, unquote. Briley Diderickson, Workplace Hero. Briley Diderickson of Dyke, a special education teacher for the Dyke-New Hartford Community School District, distinctly remembers while on a family outing as a child, her dad saving an older man choking on a piece of steak using the Heimlich maneuver. Dide Erickson had no way of knowing, years later, she would follow in his footsteps. On a busy morning before school, Dide Erickson was talking with fellow teachers and ushering kids into their classrooms when she heard a call for help from a student saying a little boy was choking on a piece of hard candy. Dide Erickson dropped her belongings and rushed to help. She performed the Heimlich maneuver, and in seconds, the candy was dislodged and the boy was breathing normally. Dide Erickson took the boy to the nurse's office as a precaution, where he got some water and had the opportunity to calm down. Overwhelmed with emotion, the boy began to tear up, and Dide Erickson did everything she could to comfort him while holding her own emotions in check. The experience shook them both. The following day, the boy approached her and said, "Thank you for saving my life." Dide Erickson could no longer hold it together at that moment. Through her tears, she told the boy how happy she was that he was okay. The experience formed a bond between them that she says will last forever. Gary Gillis Jr., healthcare hero. Gary Gillis Jr. of Waterloo is a certified therapeutic recreation specialist who works with patients dealing with traumatic, life-altering events such as spinal cord injury, stroke, and amputations. He said he has always felt a kinship with individuals with spinal cord injuries, and his passion for helping them doesn't stop when he leaves the hospital. For the last 20 years, Gillis has volunteered with the Waterhawks ski team in Evansdale to bring adaptive water skiing to people with mobility limitations. Quote, "Over the years, working with people with spinal cord injuries, I've learned that sometimes it's difficult for them to adjust initially, especially if it comes from any type of sudden injury or trauma," Gillis said. "I want these people to understand through the adaptive water skiing that there is nothing that can hold them back," unquote. Most participants are spinal cord injury survivors, but some have dealt with mobility issues since birth, such as those with spina bifida. Quote, "It's nice that they can get out on the lake and enjoy something new and different," Gillis said. "No matter the person's level of impairment, we've always been able to get everyone up on the water. Some started coming as kids, and now they're graduating from college. It's gratifying to see people who started with the help of two people skiing beside them, and now they get in the water, and they don't even need anyone to help them get started." Kim Haley, Good Samaritan adult hero. Kim Haley of Eldora was driving on U.S. Highway 20, just north of Wellsburg, when she encountered a horrific rollover crash involving an Amish family and their 15-passenger van. With no formal emergency medical training, she jumped into action to help. The Amish family was traveling from their home in Delhi to visit family in Missouri. One adult and three children younger than five died in the accident. Several others were injured. Iowa State Patrol said no one in the van wore a seat belt, and the small children were not in car seats. The driver of the van lost control due to slippery conditions. She found food and got cash from the ATM. She comforted strangers and helped locate critical personal items like bottles and a diaper bag. Haley even drove some of the victims to the hospital in her car. She also called a friend who came and assisted. "I knew there were power in numbers," she said. "It took the entire day, whatever they needed." Looking back on the situation, Haley thinks she was driven to help by the need to repay some of the favors she received. It was a way to thank the people who helped her recover from the death of her son, who was serving in the U.S. Marine Corps. Quote, "It is what you want people to do. You hope people will stop and help," she said. "People were very good to us when our world crashed around us after we lost our son. The least I could do was to help them when their world had crashed that day," unquote. Rhonda Reed, environmental hero. Rhonda Reed of Cedar Falls loves animals. The educational consultant and adjunct professor at the University of Northern Iowa says her passion stems from a childhood surrounded by animals and participating in 4-H activities. When her veterinarian sister and a group of volunteers opened the Otter Creek Animal Shelter in Hazleton 6 years ago, there was no doubt Reed would be heavily involved. She helps coordinate shelter fundraising events and the daily aluminum can collection drive. She drives the can van to pick up drop-off bins throughout the community and takes them to Metro Recycling in Cedar Falls. The year-long activity can drive fundraiser has allowed the shelter to hire part-time staff to provide consistent quality care for the animals. The rural nonprofit shelter serves about 100 animals per year. It relies heavily on volunteers, a few part-time employees, community support, and fundraising to ensure the rescued animals receive the necessary care before being placed in foster homes. Quote, "Above all else, the shelter's mission is to find the right family for each animal so they aren't rehomed again," Reed said. The shelter is a staple of the Cedar Valley community and serves a significant need. Quote, "It's our job as humans to take care of everything before us, whether it's the land, the animals, other people, or our community. It's all part of the big picture," unquote. Preston Russell, public safety hero. Preston Russell of Cedar Falls is a police officer and firefighter for the city. While running errands with his father-in-law, they encountered a serious traffic accident. Russell immediately parked his car and sprang into action. He instructed his father-in-law to call 911 as he went to the vehicle, where he could see passengers who needed immediate help. The situation escalated quickly and smoke started to fill the vehicle. With a bystander's help, Russell was able to get two people out of the vehicle before it became engulfed in flames. He used a medical kit from his vehicle and assisted two of the three individuals injured in the accident. A third individual had removed himself from the vehicle and was getting help from others. One passenger suffered a substantial leg wound. Russell applied a tourniquet and kept the victim talking and alert while they waited for emergency personnel to arrive. Quote, "It's the training rather than instinct when it comes to situations like this," he said. During the chaotic incident, Russell was thankful for the help from bystanders and his father-in-law. Their help allowed him to quickly assess the situation and do what needed to be done to help as many people as possible. Quote, "I like to think that somebody above was looking out that day and had a role to play," Russell said. Heidi Warrington, Jim Mudd Sr. military hero. Retired U.S. Army Colonel Heidi Warrington of Waterloo continues her public service by working as a child advocate. At the age of 28, after the birth of her first son, Warrington decided to follow in her father's footsteps and serve her country. Her father, Evan Curley Holtman, retired from the service as a U.S. Army Reserve Major General. Warrington entered active duty in 1988 as a medical nurse with a psychiatric specialty. She also received certification as a public health clinic nurse specialist. She went on to be an Army nurse and Iraq War veteran. As a reservist, she served stateside as an operations officer and medical nurse. Warrington started programs to aid the most vulnerable and ensured every victim of violence or assault had their voice heard. This was not just limited to women and children. Even men in the military faced sexual abuse. She helped everyone who came to her the best way she could. In her 34 years of service, including 5 wars across 41 countries and more than 16 moves, she never failed to tackle every challenge that came her way. Her years and breadth of experiences pay off today as she advocates for children in a civilian capacity, including serving as a court-appointed special advocate. In this role, she is the voice for the child. She also continues to advocate for veterans, women, and students daily. Pickle, animal hero. Pickle Day is everyone's favorite day at New Hampton Elementary School, and it has nothing to do with what's on the cafeteria menu. For 4 years, Pickle, a 7-year-old golden retriever, has been coming to school with kindergarten teacher Michelle Good and has significantly impacted the students and staff. The service dog isn't just there to get a pat on the head. She understands that there's a job to do. Quote, she has always had a sense of other people's emotions. When you're sad, she'll put her head on your knee. Ever since she was a puppy, I felt like this was something that she could do. And she's shown us that she can, unquote. Good and Pickle spend time with medically complex students or students who are having a tough day. Quote, she'll just lay on the floor next to them, and usually the kids just melt. If they're having big emotions, she helps them work through it just by being there, unquote. Good says seeing the kids' face light up when they see Pickle is gratifying. Quote, I love dogs and I love teaching, so it was a great way to bring those two passions together, unquote. Being a hero comes naturally to Pickle, but not without a lot of training. She had to learn things like walking through the school's cafeteria without snatching a tasty morsel off the floor and behaving during a fire drill. Quote, I have some kids who have earned rewards to read with her or to have even 5 minutes before she leaves to sit down with her one-on-one. So when kids get extra time to spend with her, that motivates them, unquote. Sponsors for the event this year were Mercy One, Courier Communications, News 7 KWWL, 93.5 The Mix, and 1650 The Fan. Woman finds a little goodwill goes a long way after losing Bible. The story was written by Angela Sturm McLaughlin of The Courier. Dateline, Cedar Falls. Moving can be a stressful situation for anyone, and moving an elderly parent in failing health to another state only increases the stress. Now, add the loss of a precious childhood possession into the mix. That's what happened when Rebecca Brugman was moving her mother, Maureen Gotts, from Cedar Falls to Spring Hill, Kansas, where she lives. Gotts accidentally donated a children's Bible that Brugman received when she was 5 years old. Quote, it was just one of those things, said Brugman. My mom, who has low vision, she was trying to clean things in a hurry. I had set my Bible aside to take home with me, but somehow my mom got it confused with other things, and the Bible was donated to Goodwill, unquote. Brugman's daughter, Ashlyn, then sprung into action with the help of the internet. She posted on the Iowa Reddit page asking for the thrifters in Cedar Valley to keep an eye out. She also made contact with Cedar Valley Goodwill stores and filled out an accidental donation form. Quote, I was just trying to cover my bases and help my mom, Ashlyn Brugman said. From there, it was up to the Goodwill stores to help locate the book. On Rebecca Brugman's last trip to Iowa before moving her mother, she got some news from one of the stores. Quote, Ashlyn kept calling and we could not get connected, said Brugman. I finally got a hold of her and she let me know the Bible may have been found at the University Avenue Goodwill. I got there so fast. Quote, all of the employees were excited to see us. It truly was a good wink moment, she said. Employees had found the same kind of children's Bible, but she knew right away it wasn't hers. Quote, my name was written on the cover, unquote. Nonetheless, Brugman decided to take the Bible home with her after seeing how excited everyone was. She offered to pay for it, but the employees gave it to her. Each of the workers signed the inside of the Bible before she headed it home. Andrew Maurer, Vice President of Marketing for Goodwill Industries of Northeast Iowa, praised the University Avenue store employees' effort to find a good outcome for Brugman. Quote, we're incredibly proud of our team for their understanding work locating a similar Bible that meant so much to the family, he said. This story underscores Goodwill's dedication to helping people and emphasizes the value of kindness and support within our communities, unquote. Quote, "This Bible means more to me as an adult than it did to me as a kid. It's proof that if you bless others, then others will bless you," said Brugman. She credited her daughter's tenacity for trying to find the Bible. Quote, "She orchestrated this whole thing. Her persistence was unbelievable. She never gave up," said Brugman. "I'm so proud of her and her love of family," unquote. As for Gotts, her move was completed 2 weeks ago, and she now lives in the same Spring Hill, Kansas neighborhood as her daughter and granddaughter. Brugman looks forward to passing on the Bible to her future grandchildren. Quote, "I cannot wait to share the story about how wonderful the world can be. It's been so overwhelming knowing that so many people were willing to help," she said. "There is so much negativity and hate in this world. It's wonderful when we can help each other," unquote. And now, listeners, we'd just like to take a moment to remind you that you're listening to the recording of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for Monday, March 25th on IRIS, that's IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and the Print Handicapped. Now, let's continue reading local news from the Courier. Tax askings increase 7% in proposed school levy. This is the first of two hearings for the Waterloo District. Story filed by Maria Cooper. Dateline Waterloo. The Waterloo Community School District may increase its tax collections by as much as 7%, but due to a new state law, residents will have an extra chance to voice their opinion. The Board of Education will hold a 6:30 p.m. public hearing Monday for the maximum property tax levy at the Education Service Center at 1516 Washington Street. The state changed the process for taxing entities' budget hearings, so now they must have two opportunities for public comment on proposed taxes. The public hearing must be a separate from a regular meeting. It will take place after Monday's regular school board meeting. The district's maximum property tax askings could be $39.4 million, $2.6 million or 6.9% more than the current year. This is the most the district can ask for. The published amount can only remain the same or decrease. The district's current property tax rate of $13.36 per $1,000 of taxable value could grow to $13.98, a 62-cent increase. However, individual, residential, and commercial property owners could see a decrease in the school district portion of their tax bills for the fiscal year starting July 1st. Due to recent changes in the state rollback, which determines the percentage of property value to be taxed, owners of property with an assessed value of $100,000 would pay $648 annually under the proposal. That's $82 or 11.2% less than last year. A final decision will be made on the property tax rate following the hearing at a later date. Prior to the proposed budget hearing, during the regular meeting at 5 p.m., the school board could approve a purchase of more than $1 million for new student and teacher Chromebooks, as well as carrying cases. This includes 3,585 computers and 2,445 cases. The laptops would go to all 6th and 9th graders, along with students at Poymer and Orange Elementary Schools, because their computers are at the end of their lifespan. Dyke's public pool will be closed this summer due to safety concerns. Maria Cooper wrote this story, and the dateline is Dyke. More children looking to cool off and swim will have to go elsewhere during their summer break. The city of Dyke will not open its pool this season due to a lengthy list of much-needed repairs. The city council unanimously voted to close it on March 13th, after taking a tour of the facility. Mayor Sadie Six said this was bound to happen at some point because the school is 47 years old. The city was made aware of its condition during annual budget presentations. Quote, "There's been short-term fixes in the past, so we're looking for more of a long-term fix, she said. The city provided a myriad of repairs the school needs to the council. Among those were finding and fixing a large water leak, replacing pool filters, completing cement work around and inside the pool, fixing pool return jets, repairing pool gutters, and other cosmetic fixes. No cost estimates have been determined yet. Once there is an estimate, city officials will work to find an engineering firm. Six said the closure is not due to a lack of funding to run the pool, but rather to look out for the residents. Quote, "It didn't come as a surprise to anyone. I think the public was pretty understanding," she said. "They know we're trying to keep the community and visitors to our community safe," unquote. Although the pool will be closed, Six noted the newly constructed splash pad at Kruger Hammond Sports Complex will be open. Earlier this month, another Cedar Valley community considered closing its public pool. Waverly officials say the cost of needed repairs could affect the fiscal year 2025 budget. The city has not yet decided if the pool will be open. Lawmakers move bill to address retail theft. This story comes from the Courier's Capital Notebook and begins with a photograph of Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd. Dateline Des Moines. Organized retail theft would become a new state crime and in certain cases could be a felony offense under legislation that earned unanimous approval from Iowa state lawmakers. The proposal is on its way to our Governor Kim Reynolds' desk for her consideration after it passed the Iowa Senate on Wednesday. The Senate passed the bill with a 47-0 vote. It previously passed the House on a 97-0 vote. The bill, House File 2594, creates the new state crime of organized retail theft and defines that crime as individuals working together to steal retail merchandise and then attempting to sell that merchandise, advertising the stolen merchandise for sale, or attempting to return the stolen merchandise for a refund. Legislators said the bill is needed because of an increase in retail theft in Iowa. Senator Scott Webster, a Republican of Bettendorf, said the bill will help, quote, "fix the situation" by creating a deterrent for such crimes. Senator Tony Bisignano, a Democrat from Des Moines, praised the proposal, but also said he wished it would go further and create punishments for other types of theft that have become more common, like stealing delivered packages from porches and doorsteps. Quote, "We're seeing more and more that theft has become a profession, become organized," Bisignano said during debate. "We want to combat organized theft," unquote. Under the bill, organized retail theft, depending on the value of merchandise stolen, would range from a serious misdemeanor to a Class C felony, punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a fine between $1,000 and $10,000. Now continuing on with other stories in the Capital Notebook, flat tax proposal moves ahead. A requirement that Iowa have just one income tax rate for all workers would be put to a public vote as an amendment to the Iowa Constitution under legislation advanced by Senate Republicans. The Iowa Constitution can only be amended by a provision that passes consecutive Iowa General Assemblies and then approved by a public vote. Under Senate Study Bill 3189, the Iowa Constitution would be amended to state that there shall not be more than one state income tax rate above zero at any one time. The proposal passed the Iowa Senate's Tax Policy Committee on a party-line vote, with all Republicans supporting and all Democrats opposing. It is now eligible to be considered by the full Senate. A bill considered previously by State House Republicans included both the single tax rate provision and another that would require the approval of two-thirds of the Iowa legislature in order to increase the state income tax. That provision is not included in the bill moving in the Senate. Senator Dan Dawson, a Republican from Council Bluffs, said the two proposals will both advance, but they must be separated so they can be posed as separate questions to the voters. Next, court asked to raise TikTok age rating. Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd is asking a court to force TikTok to raise its age rating on app stores as she pursues a lawsuit against the social media company. Byrd, a Republican, sued TikTok in January, alleging the app is misleading parents by hosting content inappropriate for its 12-plus app store rating. Byrd filed a motion for a temporary injunction in the Polk County District Court on Wednesday, asking the court to stop TikTok from listing a 12-plus rating on the Apple App Store and from listing it contains only infrequent or mild references to alcohol, sexual content, and suggestive themes. TikTok said when the lawsuit was filed that it has significant safeguards in place and limits access for users under 18. TikTok also has been under scrutiny at the federal level as congressional lawmakers seek to force its Chinese parent company, ByteDance, to sell the app or face a ban from the U.S. app stores. Now let's read the short articles in the Week in Iowa section. Bill aiming to enforce immigration passes. Iowa Republican Governor Kim Reynolds said she intends to sign a bill passed by Iowa lawmakers that would give state officials the authority to arrest and order the removal of immigrants that are in the country illegally. The bill, similar to a Texas law that has been locked in a legal battle, would allow the arrest of immigrants that enter the country illegally after previously being denied entry or deported. The bill has been opposed by immigration activists who argued it is unconstitutional and discriminatory. Republicans, though, said the measure was necessary to address the record number of illegal border crossings that have occurred under President Joe Biden. Earlier this year, lawmakers failed to coalesce around a border security bill passed by Biden. March Madness tips off. Two Iowa men's teams and three women's teams made it to the NCAA tournament to kick off March Madness this year. The number 2 seed Iowa State had won its first game on Thursday, while number 10 seed Drake fell in the first round. In the women's tournament, the number 1 seed Iowa, number 7 seed Iowa State, and number 12 seed Drake teams played their first games on Friday. Report: State parks in need of renovation. Iowa state parks are in need of more than $100 million in repairs to update shelters, sewage, and other infrastructure. A report prepared by a former DNR officer found that there were health and safety risks associated with the failing infrastructure. Despite the needs, the Iowa DNR did not ask the Iowa legislature for any additional funding this year. AEA bill bounces back. Iowa House Republicans passed their latest proposal to overhaul the state's area education agencies on Thursday, as Republican leaders try to iron out disagreements over how to address special education funding and oversight in the state. The latest proposal would let Iowa schools keep their special education funding, but require them to spend most of it with an AEA. The bill also adds a 2.5% spending increase in overall school funding and would increase the starting pay for teachers to $50,000 over 2 years. Republicans passed the bill on a narrow vote on Thursday, making it eligible for consideration in the Senate. The Senate must pass the bill to send it on to Republican Governor Kim Reynolds for signature. Eminent domain bill advances. Iowa House lawmakers made another attempt to regulate the eminent domain process in the state as a vocal coalition seeks to stop the construction of CO2 pipelines in the state. The bill would allow individuals to go to court to determine a project's eminent domain authority during state regulator proceedings. Poll. Iowa voters back Republicans. Republican candidates are preferred by voters in three of Iowa's four congressional districts, according to a recent Des Moines Register MediaCom Iowa poll. In the first district, where incumbent Republican Marionette Miller Meeks is challenged by Democrat Christina Bohannon, voters preferred a Democrat candidate by a slim margin. Now, quotes and odds and ends. Quote, every student deserves a quality education that helps them reach their potential. By reforming the AEA system, empowering school districts, and empowering oversight and transparency, we are committing to better outcomes and brighter futures for Iowa students with disability. That was Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds after the House passes the AEA bill. Quote, this bill, in attempting to solve only one problem, risks creating others, fostering fear among immigrant communities, disrupting families, and potentially hindering cooperation with law enforcement. That was Iowa Representative Sammy Sheets, a Democrat from Cedar Rapids, on the immigration bill. Police review boards. A proposal to ban local citizen police review boards will not move forward in the Iowa legislature after a key lawmaker said the bill needs more work. Five Iowa cities have citizen-led boards that oversee their police department, and the bill would have prohibited those boards. Next, state revenue projection. Iowa's revenue from tax receipts will drop lower than initially expected this year, before a slight uptick in fiscal 2025, according to projections from state officials. The Revenue Estimating Conference estimates a 2% drop in revenue compared to last year, putting Iowa's revenue at $9.63 billion. Next, Iowa family abuse. Four members of a family from Ziering, Iowa, were charged with felonies for allegedly kidnapping and abusing an 18-year-old relative. The 18-year-old was so badly malnourished that he weighed 70 pounds when he arrived at the hospital, according to court documents. And state E-15 lawsuit. Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd dropped her lawsuit to force the sale of year-round E-15 fuel after the EPA approved it earlier this year. Iowa and other Midwestern states have been pushing for the agency to allow the year-round sale of the fuel, which is currently restricted in the summer months. Northeast Iowa Food Bank launches new fundraising campaign seeking monthly donors. Holly Hudson Hill wrote this article. Dateline Waterloo. The Northeast Iowa Food Bank is taking a novel approach to fundraising, hoping to connect with new donors and make a lasting impact on its fight against hunger. The organization unveiled its, quote, Team NEIFB, Ending Hunger in Our Community, for $15 a month campaign during its annual Empty Bowls event Friday. Quote, this is an ongoing initiative we are looking to establish in the Northeast Iowa Food Bank, in addition to events and one-time asks, said Abigail Howe, NEIFB's digital communications coordinator. Quote, we have a new wave and a new era of donors, say from ages 25 to 58, and we want to target them, she said. These are their formative years when they're really trying to figure out what matters to them. This is the next step in reinventing how people of all income levels can be part of a worthy cause. We want making an impact through monetary donations more inclusive and rewire people's perspective of how they can be part of something bigger. And here we have a photograph showing volunteers filling bags for the Northeast Iowa Food Bank's backpack program, and lots of people standing around tables filling white plastic bags with food for kids, and they all seem to be having a good time. Quote, we live in a highly inflated world right now, Howe said. $15 a month feels doable, and we can have a long-term impact. In today's world, people are struggling with if they buy groceries this week or pay the utility bill. It is so incredibly important to make sure people don't have to ask those hard questions, unquote. Barbara Prather, NEIFB Executive Director, emphasized the importance of community support. Quote, bridging the meal gap in Northeast Iowa relies on the collective strength of our outstanding community, she said. We invite those with the capacity to contribute $15 a month to join us in sustaining this vital effort, recognizing that it truly takes an entire community coming together to end hunger, unquote. Quote, our goal right now is to have a significant launch and gain some new donors, Howe said. We want to really get the word out and make those connections with community partners, unquote. To that end, the food bank has enlisted the help of several local leaders who will foster awareness about hunger and encourage community members to join the fight against it. Quote, I won't name them now, Howe said, but keep an eye on your social media and you will see those community leaders pop up, unquote. Our campaign aims to demonstrate that in Northeast Iowa, we are all interconnected, said Emily Gersh, NEIFB board chair. Together, we can shape a community where the shared commitment to ensure no one goes hungry becomes a testament to our collective strength, unquote. The food bank invites community members to share their support for the campaign on social media using the hashtag TeamNEIFB. Turning the page now to the Cedar Valley section. Kids have fun and learn at STEM Fest. Angela Sturm-McLaughlin wrote the story, and it begins with the photograph showing Allison and Luke Dobes of Cedar Falls race each other as they pump water in rubber duck competition at the Viking Pump exhibit during the Cedar Valley Family STEM Festival on Tuesday at the Unidome in Cedar Falls. Dateline Cedar Falls. The 4-year-old Maggie McRoberts wants to be a doctor for pets, unquote. She was at the Unidome Tuesday, going from booth to booth during the Cedar Valley Family STEM Festival, learning all about science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. She played with blocks at a booth for the Cedar Valley Society of Women Engineers. Another girl at the booth, Kenna Edgerton, said she was most excited to learn about anything that will help her become a first-grade teacher, unquote. Quote, it's really fun to walk around these events and see just how excited kids are to learn about different things that are not necessarily in a school setting, said Kylie Meyer, a University of Northern Iowa junior who was volunteering at the STEM Festival. And, she added, it's the exact reason events like this exist. The Northeast Iowa region of the Governor's STEM Advisory Council hosted the event, which included more than 70 exhibitors. Organized like a street festival, families wandered around the Unidome, visiting booths and participating in all kinds of activities that piqued their interest. Children were seen lining up blocks, coloring, using robots to move cups from one location to another, and even creating experiments with household items like tin foil and salt. First Tech Challenge Team 6420, Saber Hoof Tigers of Cedar Falls, showcased its robots, which thrilled the younger attendees. Employers like Envision Architecture, Power Engineering and Manufacturing, First Bank, and John Deere were also on hand to hype up the crowd. At John Deere's booth, children used rock salt to make ice cream in a bag. This sweet treat was a hit with both children and their parents. Fred Sandoval, a member of the John Deere Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers, said he enjoys meeting children at the festival who may not yet have bridged the gap between fun and their future. Quote, we love coming to events like this because it helps kids to start to think about their future, said Sandoval. I was a kid also, and didn't care about anything but hanging out with my friends. But as you get older, you start to think about where you are going to be in 5 years. STEM careers, on average, pay more for just a 4-year degree, he said. Then, with just about anything else, you can write your own ticket. Writing her own ticket is what led Meyer to volunteer for the festival. Quote, STEM is really important. We have a very good avenue for kids to go down. There are lots of job opportunities for both kids and adults, she said. We put on this festival to bring different organizations from all of the Cedar Valley, and some from Iowa City, to highlight what STEM is all about. To learn more about STEM, including fun experiments for kids, go online to neiowastem.com. Just have time now to read one letter to the editor. Save Social Security. The Cedar Valley's U.S. Representative Ashley Hinson, along with Zach Nunn and Randy Feenstra, are members of the House Republican Study Committee, which this week proposed a $2.7 billion cut to Social Security and Medicare. Perhaps they are not aware that these programs are not entitlements, but are funds that everybody contributes to via payroll taxes over their entire working lives. Yes, the programs need to be updated due to demographic shifts. President Biden proposes to extend Social Security solvency by, quote, asking the highest income Americans to pay their fair share. I can support that approach. Vote like your retirement depends on it, because it does. This was written by John Hall of Cedar Falls. And now, listeners, that's going to do it for today's reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for today, Monday, March 25th. I'm your volunteer reader, Bob Young. Remember, you can listen to a recording of this reading of the Courier or of the other newspapers around Iowa that we read. Just visit our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. And we want to thank you for listening to your IRIS, Iowa's first and only radio reading service.